Hello, everyone. Welcome to Reiki Radio. I am your host, Yolanda. And first of all, I just want to thank you all so much for being here. I know that I say this often, but I can't tell you how thankful I am for how the community is growing. And I know that it's not just because of me showing up for the podcast. It's really because of how much you all share. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate that you have rated the podcast on Apple Podcast, as well as sharing episodes with your communities. And just in case you don't know, most of the interviews that are on the podcast are available to watch on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and look up Reiki Radio, you will find my channel. You can subscribe and you will be notified whenever there is an interview available to actually watch, which is a pretty cool thing because it gives another layer to the conversations where you get to see people's expressions, and it's just a lot of fun that way. But thank you so much for sharing and helping this podcast grow. I am deeply thankful. So today we have a very exciting guest. We have a woman, and her name is Michelle Sakai, and she is a contemporary abstract expressionist artist based in New York City, and her paintings reference the teachings of transformative art with focus on light and energy. So her artwork is really, really gorgeous. She uses this metallic, it's hard to explain it. You'll have to go to her website to see. Her website is michellesakai.com, and her last name is S-A-K-H-A-I. It's like this metallic foil. And actually, during the interview, it was very interesting because one of her paintings is behind her, if you watch on YouTube, and because of the way that the sunlight hits her work, it actually changes the feel of the painting as the day goes on. But what is so interesting about her and why we had this conversation today is she uses her gift of art to actually support people in Harlem Hospital. So she does a lot of transformative artwork with children, and you'll hear about that, as well as how this way that she's working also incorporates the families. And so there's healing provided on multiple levels. But she also has a very exciting exhibit coming up. So if you are in New York, I really recommend that you check it out. She is having this exhibit that is called the Arcana Series, Interpretations of the Tarot. And what is so lovely about it is it's not like the traditional depictions of tarot that you may have seen in the past. It really does cause you to go into how you feel, like what intuitive insights really speak to you in looking in this artwork. So again, if you are in New York, her solo show will be at the Madeline Jordan Fine Art Gallery in Scarsdale, New York. And that takes place September 6th. And if you want to see her for a live discussion around the artwork, as well as there will be a live tarot reader at the event, you want to go to the gallery on Saturday, October 5th. And again, you can go down in the show link description, click on her website, michellesakai.com, or you can follow her on Instagram at Michelle Sakai Art. So there's a lot that I think this conversation will spark for your own consideration of all of these different ways that we're able to heal and transform and express ourselves. So get comfortable, and I will see you on the other side. Okay, so this week we have on Reiki Radio, Michelle Sakai, and I want to thank you so much for coming on Reiki Radio to talk about your work today.
Thank you. I'm so happy and excited to be here. So,
well, listen, there's a lot that I feel we're going to learn from you today, and we'll, I think even from speaking with you before, it may cause us to look at healing from a wider lens. So I'm really excited to have this discussion, and I just want everyone to know, first of all, just for background, that you are a Reiki master, you're also a practitioner of primordial sound meditation, and you're an artist.
So before we go into your exciting new work that we're going to talk about a little later, just want to ask how you came into this work of energy healing with Reiki and also the primordial sound meditation.
So as a child, I was always drawn towards spirituality and self-growth. I found myself always in the bookstore in the section of spirituality and like Deepak Chopra's books. And I was a kid, and I was always drawn to learning about that. And so even if I didn't read the books, I bought them. And what's funny is that years later, even after college, I remember going back to my old room and finding these books that I never read, and not knowing that I would even spend time at the Chopra Center. But there I was, you know, and it's interesting how that happens. And I think when you're just drawn to things, it's, you know, it for me, it just came to me, and I just followed that. And it was always together with my art.
That's a really cool thing. And, you know, it's interesting. Speaking of primordial sound meditation, I don't think I've ever talked about it on the show, but I've, you know, Chopra Center's in San Diego here. And so I've went there twice for two different events and maybe 7 years ago. And at that time, David G was the main meditation teacher. Mm-hmm. And right. So we got our seed syllables and all this. And it was connected to our birthday, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that how that works? The mantra that you receive?
That's correct. Yes. It's about the vibrational sound on the earth when you came into the manifest world, and the sound that was vibrating is the sound you meditate on, pretty much.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. when I was thinking about you and just your work, or what I know of it anyway, I thought how interesting that you have these different layers of, you know, sound and vibration, and then energy work, which is another way of working with, you know, frequency, but then also the visual aspect of your work. Mm-hmm. So before we get into your tarot series, which I'm really mm-hmm. excited to talk about, I did want to ask you a bit about the work that you do at Harlem Hospital, because a lot of people are so, you know, curious about the different ways that any alternative healing is being shared. So what is the work that you do there?
So I work with the patients of all ages, between really anywhere from 3 to 20 years old. And actually I also end up working with their family members. So mm-hmm. grandmas and grandpas, parents, sisters, siblings. And we all paint together. So depending on the group, or if I need to do bedside, if the patient can't move, then, you know, I work side by side with them. But it's a beautiful process of painting basically the patient's emotions and transforming them, and through the process of painting. And it's quite emotional. And the kids seem to love it. I mean, I think it could be a bit uncomfortable in the beginning, also if you've never done work like that before and sat with your emotions and really listened to them and reach, you know, those deeper places, especially in a world today where we're constantly going outside and being on our cell phones, and to spend the time and go inwards. Mm-hmm. These days, I think, it's becoming less of a daily practice.
You know, there's a couple of things coming up I want to ask you about that. One, you know, a lot of people feel like, oh, they're not artistic in these things. And I remember in the conversation we had, you said, you know, we're all creators, and that's art in of itself. And I thought that was so beautiful. And I just wanted to ask you, when you say that, like, just letting your emotions out, right, in this way, this artistic way, is that something that you point to or guide people into? Is it just a matter of let whatever you're feeling, just get it out on paper or the canvas or whatever materials they have?
Yes. I mean, that's how I work also, mm-hmm. personally. I find my painting healing to me personally, and doing the work, I just like to share that. And I call it transformational art, because you're very present when you're creating, and you're aware of your breath, your body, what's happening within you, and whatever reason, like these children are at the hospital for, and their pain, and just being in touch with that. So a lot of it is fear, or possible, maybe trauma, and it's just getting in touch with those inner parts of you, and at the end transforming it and walking away with something beautiful. So it's a beautiful process to do for people of all ages, and no matter what sickness or not,
Well, that's one of the things I thought was so interesting about it when you were telling me about your work, is just that we have this other opportunity to release, right? Because we hear that all the time, especially in this realm, releasing things or transforming things. And if we have one or two practices, we may have a very narrow vision of what that may look like. But to have that consideration of like, okay, so your emotion can come out and expressed in this artistic way, that must be really interesting, I guess, to like look at your emotion expressed visually. Not just through behavior or like our tears, not to say that it won't invoke some type of emotion, but to like have a visual representation of that. I wanted to ask you with that too. I mean, do people tend to want to discuss that with you after, or can you literally see a shift sometimes in them?
Absolutely. So, so we all have a lower nature. We all have our lower self, and we're all living in a world of duality with light and dark. And so I think honoring those parts of you and facing them is something that, I think children are very pure, and they are a little bit more simple in that aspect, where they, we can, I think as adults, we kind of have buried it and, through all the years, it's just buried. But the point is to bring all of that to the surface. So, rather than, I'm not saying like, oh, just think positive, just be positive. That's not the process is to actually, go to those dark places and to dig a bit deeper yourself. And so I kind of feel out the patient too. Some kids like to, will share with me them, and say, this is what I went through, or this is, a memory, that I had, or I feel this, or, and some children don't. So, but I try not to focus so much on that. And it's more of the emotion and the feelings, of what that experience had for them, and not to just brush it off, because I think sometimes with children they have, to be able to release those emotions for adults as well, and have that experience of sitting with it and feeling it and not ignoring them, because I think daily it's so easy to just ignore, those darker emotions and feelings that we had, if we were hurt or anger, fear of all sorts.
I imagine it must be like really cool to just see your own like inner workings through like a different lens, or giving a different perspective to it. Because as you were sharing that, I was thinking, if I had something that was like dark and like old wound, and if I were trying to express that artistically, for me personally, I imagine it'd be one of two things. Like, one, it may actually be a very beautiful representation, which would show me the beauty in what was so heavy. Or even if what I depicted looked dark and scary, I think it might kind of deactivate the fear because I've made it something. Do you know, I've had my hand.
And absolutely. And you're also taking it outside of yourself.
Yes.
So, because we do hold all of this in subconsciously, and I think, and consciously. So being able to release that and putting it down on paper, and you can kind of detach from it, let go, and also recreate it. So right. Sometimes if they are sharing with me the experience of what happened, I will say, well, let's paint something different, or what, well, not paint so much, I mean, but more about recreating that memory into something joyful, and how that, what that would look like. And so through that, and the focus isn't the art. That's kind of secondary. It's, the focus is internal. So, and I always say, we're not trying to make anything beautiful. And that's another thing, you know, I think we're, you know, whenever I hand someone a brush, like, oh, I'm a terrible artist. Well, like, let's not think about, you know, making something beautiful. Let's just make something authentic. So, and so, but all, you know, we always end up making something beautiful, because it's a reflection of us, and it's authentic, and they love it too, because you feel so much lighter after the process.
You know, go ahead. Well, I was thinking another cool thing with this. So you mentioned at the beginning is that you also oftentimes have an opportunity to work with the families too. And a lot of times where we have these situations, whomever is going through the obvious challenge or the obvious hurt, right? And then they have whomever is around them who are also impacted, but often have to put on a brave face or stay strong because you want to be supportive for whoever the focus is on. So I think that's really cool that you have this opportunity to allow like everyone involved to express and release in a way that maybe isn't disruptive to the patient, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. So I've had, you know, grandfathers actually come in, you know, watching their grandchildren and work together, and they shared with me they've never drawn or held any writing material, like, you know, they've never been creative. I remember one gentleman, he was 90, in his 90s, and it was the first time he ever held a paintbrush. He said, you know, where he grew up, they didn't have the material and that access to art classes, and his, you know, his, he didn't have that in the house. So it was his first time in his, you know, 90s, you know, coming into the art room. And it was, he lit up, and he was like a kid. And it was really beautiful to see just what he created. And also, you know, I think similar to meditation, you don't really know what's going to arise within you. While, like, when you're meditating, sometimes you have some, you know, thoughts, feelings, things pop up. And that's what I love about doing this work, because you don't really know. You can begin neutral, but by the, you know, but then midway through, it may trigger some other emotions, and then memories, and then so it kind of, even if you're not thinking consciously, okay, I'm gonna paint about, you know, this experience, or, you know, it just, if you just start feeling into yourself, then, you know, things, you start getting in touch with the deeper part of you, and through that comes all sorts of, you don't really know what will come up. So it's kind of, and then if it's just all joy, then that's great, you know. It's not like every single time you have to, but I think a lot of times we're not fully aware. And so it really is it's a portal into your subconscious.
Well, I have to say, even you saying that, I'm glad it's like a segue into this exhibit that you have coming up and your tarot series that you've done. And before we get into it, though, I just want to acknowledge your artwork right there behind you. And it's gorgeous. So it looks metallic. So is that kind of like a signature style for you?
Yeah. So I gild the whole canvas first in the gold leafing. This painting behind me is actually about 14 feet long. Wow. So it goes all the way down that way. But it's all leafing and then oil on top.
Mm-hmm. It is absolutely stunning. I like just the way the light hits it. And it's funny because I'm like looking at it, wondering if the part that looks brighter, is it because of the lighting or is it actually just more metallic in those certain spaces?
It's just the lighting. And that's what I love about working with the metal leaf is throughout the day, the whole painting transforms also because if it's sundown, I get the pinks and the orange hues into the artwork. And it's so reflective that it just, absorbs all the light around it.
Very smart. Huh? It's very pretty. That's what I was saying. Like, I wonder if it looks different later in the day.
It does. Yes.
That is beautiful. Okay. So here is something I found so fascinating. Seeing your work, your expression of the major arcana of tarot. And what struck me was at first I read that this is what I was about to look at, but I didn't see the imagery yet. And when I saw the images right away, I was like, oh, I have to feel into this. Like, I have to just like let the mind go, what I think of, like, you know, the symbolism I may have been expecting in all of these things, and literally allow myself to connect with what do I feel from this visual. Mm-hmm. So before we get too much in that, I want to ask, what even inspired you to do this?
Well, I have been around using the cards and influenced by them for several years now. And I think just collecting different ones and using all different types from the Mother Peace cards to the original Rider deck to I have several angel ones too. I even found, I was in Sedona a few months back and I found this antique shop and saw tarot cards from 1982, like Native American cards.
Wow.
And I'm always drawn by, the imagery and I think just, through these years of using different types of cards and seeing what's out there, I was always like, I feel like I would maybe express it this way and like I said in the quote for my show about just revamping them, because like speaking of the Rider deck, I feel like, society has changed so much and just to kind of update the cards a bit and maybe make them a little bit more contemporary. I tried to bring some of the symbolism over to some of the cards that I recreated, but it, like you said, it's mainly the energy of the card and the feelings and emotions for me than it was so much the imagery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hearing you say that, it reminds me of, I have been, for a very long time, looking for decks that were more inclusive and were more modern, right? And so more recently, I have come across some decks and different artists who do, but there's still those, little nuances where, I've always hoped that I would find a deck where it felt more inclusive in a lot of ways, right? Across the board. And it's interesting now thinking to the images of your cards and what you're saying, it's like that right there. It's it has no boundary. And it is that absolute thing that is connective for us is just emotion, you know, that feeling, but it doesn't box anything in, because you really have to look at these images and they'll speak to you in a very unique way. So I think it's a beautiful idea of what you've done. Now I have two questions for you with that. Do you plan to do a deck?
I've been asked that a lot. Right now, my focus was just the major arcana. In the future, I may. But even with the major arcana cards, I paint one painting and then I'm like, wow, I could also do it this way or this way. I mean, I get like multiple images in my head of how to depict this card for myself. So I may just keep creating more and more images per arcana card. Like I may do that. Like I've done temperance now a few times, and you know, so I think that's part of it too. I may create a deck and have multiple cards per arcana piece. I mean, I don't know too. I mean, one other thing about the arcana series I just want to say is that it took me about a year to make this whole series. So they were very authentic to what I was going through. So I personally connected with these cards when I was personally, I feel I was kind of going through them. So it wasn't like, it was a very natural and organic process of recreating each card.
I think that's a really cool idea of having different depictions of the same card for one, because, you know, there's so many layers to one card, mm-hmm. and depending on when you pull it, what it's next to, all of these different things,
exactly,
it can have mm-hmm. so many different translations. And to be quite honest, that's part of why I have so many decks. I mean, yes, I'm looking for my one, like, go-to deck, but I love the different depictions of all of the different cards, and I love the artistry, so that's another thing too. But I mean, just with the process that you had, I was wondering, so did you meditate on one of the major arcana and then you tackled that, or you just waited to see which one was speaking to you and then you created the piece?
So depending on what my life, you know, what mm-hmm. I was going through and experiencing firsthand, that's whatever, you know, that's the card that was called to me. So that's why it took a year for me to make them. But and to really be able to stay in it while, you know, because the painting took time to make too. So I had to really be really deep in that to connecting with that energy to recreate it. And another thing is, like, my friends that don't know, you know, have never used cards, and like, they were, for example, there's some card, you know, the death card, devil, right? Like, they would be like, oh my god. And to kind of, some decks really have that darkness in the cards, and I like, I feel death is a beautiful card. I mean, of course it depends on how you get in it and all these things, and just I think wanting to embody everything that the card holds was a bit of a challenge, but also you know, I wanted to honor the original deck and also the meaning, and stay as true as possible for, you know, my translation of the card, but to also, you know, because to express the lightness in cards like the death card, right? Because it's a birth, you know, of something new. You can't have a birth without, you know, you can't have a beginning without an ending, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So expressing that was real. And again, it's not that I was trying to just, okay, I'm going to focus on positive and light. No, right? Like I went into the depths of feeling that card and what death means to me and all of that. And in the end, I feel I you know, came out with something beautiful. But because it's true and it was authentic to me and my experience.
I really love this. I mean, listening to you again, everything that's swirling through my mind is just how interesting it is. You can have this totally different outlook and perspective around healing and even what we consider dark and how that can be depicted. And then again, holding space for people to allow release and expression. And it's even stirring up for me the importance of having art in schools and all of these different things. But hopefully people listening will also consider that this may be a way for them to also be able to process their own mind and emotion, even if they've never considered themselves artistic or
absolutely
anything like that. So, okay. So you have this exhibit and it's in New York, correct?
It's in Scarsdale, right in the town.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know it's September 6th through October 19th. So, but you are having a special event that's open to the public in September as well. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. So the show is at Madeline Jordan Gallery, and we're having the opening on September 6th, Friday, from 6 to 8 p.m. And then we have a talk during the day on September 21st, and that's also open. And I will be speaking about the series, all the artwork, and we will also have a live tarot reader as well, Angela Lucy. So, it's open and it'd be great to have you join.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this, cause I will be traveling in September too. And I'm like, gosh, we'll see. But, so I wanted to make sure that people know, because a lot of people who listen to the podcast do live in the Northeast. So mm-hmm. I will put all the details of your show and your work in the show description.
Thank you.
For those who aren't able to come, is there anywhere where they can go to see the series or just your work in general? What's the best place to see what you're doing in the world?
I'm always showing somewhere. So if you go to my website, michellesakai.com, and go to future shows, I have it listed of where my art, you know, will be next. So that's a good place. And Instagram, Michelle Sakai Art.
You know, can I ask you something really quick? I don't know why I didn't ask you this earlier, but I mean, I imagine that your art must be very healing for you too, but is it like a ritualistic thing for you? And do you kind of blend the different practices that you have into, like, do you meditate and, you know, do some energy work on yourself prior to doing your artwork, or is it all very separate?
Thanks for asking. No, I definitely do. Along with my personal spiritual practice of meditation, and yes, I do Reiki on myself as well. But I Reiki my artwork.
Yes.
And I mean, all my pieces are always staged constantly and before they go out of the gallery too, a studio. And, it's all part of who I am. And so it's reflected in my work. I believe everything's energy. So,
yes.
So they're all, you know, a part of me. Yeah.
I had a feeling. That's why I was like, let me just ask her really quickly. Mm-hmm. Believe me, everyone who listens to the show will completely understand and love that. So, you know, Michelle, I want to thank you so much for coming to share your work. Really looking forward to seeing the entire series of the Major Arcana. And just even sharing with us, I again, like a different perspective and another way to consider how healing can be processed for us. So thank you so much for coming today.
I want to thank you. And yeah, we are definitely here to heal ourselves. And I always say, transform your soul. So thank you for having me and letting me share my process. This is also my book, which I just got today.
Oh my God. First time
I'm sharing it. So super excited with the gold, and it's titled Awakening. It's 200 pages of a compilation of all my abstract paintings and personal quotes. So it will be out in November. But I just have this copy right now, but you can find it on my website or on Amazon.
Okay. I'm so glad you showed it. Can I just put it back up again? The bottom of that is beautiful. Is that your artwork
at the bottom? Yeah. So I have my artwork on the bottom with the gold leafing on the side.
It is gorgeous.
To mimic my art.
That is gorgeous. Great. I will make sure, of course, to put your website. Everyone can check you out. It's Michelle Sakai, and that's SAKHAI.com. Right. Also, though, in November, when there's a link directly to the book, please email it to me so I can update the show description, because people are always listening in the archive. So, that's a beautiful book.
Thank you. And thanks so much for your time and having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, love. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Blessing.
Okay, so I want to thank Michelle so much for coming on the podcast today. And just for all of you, as a reminder, you can get more information about her work and her upcoming exhibit by going to her website, which is michellesakai.com. That's SAKHAI.com. And if you want to see that beautiful piece of artwork that was visible during our interview, be sure to check out the interview on my YouTube channel. Just look for Reiki Radio. And one of the things I just wanted to share that really struck me when Michelle and I spoke prior to doing this interview is she was explaining how art in of itself really helps to expand our lens of healing. And she said that art doesn't right or wrong. It's just an expression. And so we had this conversation about how it's this other way of allowing ourselves to process our mind and emotion, which I think is so beautiful. So I hope you will check out her work. Again, if you're in Scarsdale, New York, or in that area, you can go to her exhibit at the Madeline Jordan Fine Art Gallery. That starts on September 6th, and she will have her special event where she will be talking about the tarot and also have a live tarot reader there at the gallery on October 5th. So go ahead, check out her website or follow her on Instagram at Michelle Sakai Art. And if you are someone who is interested in doing medical Reiki training with Raven Keys, don't forget you still have time to sign up. This is taking place at the end of October, and you can get more information on my website, which is theenergeticalchemist.com. So as always, I thank you so much for being here. And remember to always journey in love.